Let's turn this evening to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we are going to be looking at verses 8 to the end of the chapter. And let's pray as we turn to God's word. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God we can trust. We thank you that you are a God who is faithful to all your promises. We praise you for being a God who accepts our worship, that we can gather together and sing your praises and have confidence that you hear and are pleased with our hearts that desire to praise your name. Lord, would you be with us, and would you encourage us, we pray, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I did refer to this passage in our morning service, because it's a passage that is maybe not exactly quoting from Psalm 90, but certainly using very similar language to talk about God and time and his eternal purposes and his faithfulness to keep all of his promises, even if those are promises that were given long, long ago. We can look at this passage in 2 Peter and see that Peter is talking to people who, it seems, we're maybe beginning to doubt Christ's promised return. So these are people who have been Christians. They've heard the message from the apostles. And the apostles told them of Jesus' promise. He ascends into heaven and he says, I will come again. And then those Christians are facing people who are mocking that promise. Questions like, where is this coming? You said he was coming back? Well, it's been, 30 years. Why isn't he back yet? We can kind of chuckle a little bit at that 30 years, since the waiting has gone on somewhat longer than that. But I think we can also understand that being a real challenge to people who were expecting Christ's return to be at any moment. Maybe that's something that you've struggled with at some point. How are we supposed to be continuing to wait with active anticipation for something that has taken so long to happen? Do you have any real hope that Christ's return is going to come during your lifetime? Maybe there are other promises of God that you're struggling to believe. Well, as we look at this closing of the book of 2 Peter, I want us to notice the way Peter assures us that God will keep his promises. It's the main thing that I want us to see, the first main thing. God will keep his promises. And then he challenges us to live in light of those promises. They may not have all been kept yet, but we're to live with an expectation that God is faithful to keep his promises. I hope you can hear, even in those couple of points, the connections to this morning. Right? Here in Peter, 2 Peter, we see a promise-keeping God. And we are called to live in light of him. We're going to look first at verses 8 to 10. 8 to 10. Peter assures us that God will keep his promises. Look there. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Well, what does Peter tell us about God in those couple of verses? One clear idea is that he is the eternal and timeless one. We are encouraged to recognize that God does not experience time in exactly the way we do. One day is as 1,000 years. For God, time is incredibly slow. I mean, could you imagine the agony of that? If we were to say, oh my, that day felt like 1,000 years, would you assume that was someone's favorite day? No, we would only use that kind of terminology when it was something horrible. Time for us, when it's going well, flies, right? Otherwise, it might feel like it's going slow. But generally, we'd prefer our days to feel about 24 hours long. The thought of a day taking 1,000 years, just dragging on and on, might be terrible to us, but God can experience a day like that. And if you had 1,000 years to go over your day, to just kind of look around in all directions, I don't think there's a lot you would miss. I mean, I go through life missing all kinds of things. I forget to call people back. I have various things that I don't get done. Things that I'm just not paying attention to. If it was 1,000-year day, I think I could get it all accomplished. Maybe I would just set more goals. I don't know. But I think if that's how it was, I wouldn't miss much. I think that's what Peter's telling us about God. He doesn't miss. And at the exact same time, we're told that for God, 1,000 years are like a day. On the one hand, time is very, very slow for him. On the other hand, time is very, very fast. God has a wonderful long game. He can work his purposes out over thousands of years, and he doesn't get bored accomplishing those purposes. I've heard that from political perspectives, the United States and China have very different sort of mental time frames. I don't really know if this is particularly true, but I've heard this, kind of politically speaking, the United States generally has roughly a 4-year time frame. Because after 4 years, we're going to get another president, and that president might have a very different policy. And so while we might have certain trends in our sort of foreign diplomacy, basically, we're kind of, well, this long, and then this long, and then this long. And I've heard that China has a much more like a 100-year plan. Their political leaders don't plan on being out of power. So they plan a much longer game. I don't really know how influential that thinking is, if that's true or not, but I think it's an interesting way of thinking. And I think we could say, if we can say, okay, the United States has kind of short-term plans and China maybe longer ones, God has incredibly long-term plans. I mean, think of his act of creation. We want to think of time being compressed in some way. God does so much in a week. But then he takes thousands of years to plan and send a promised Messiah. And then he takes thousands more years before Jesus comes again. His goals stretch beyond the horizons of our lives. I think as Peter is pointing to that, that's part of what he's reminding us about God. God isn't slow in keeping any of his promises. He doesn't experience time in the same way that we do. Peter also tells us here that God is patient in his kindness. He's patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, sometimes when we read that verse, I think our minds immediately go into, but wait a minute, God doesn't want people to perish. He doesn't wish that that would happen, but people do perish. So what is going on with God in some way not wanting them to, but being sovereign even over those decisions? I'm not sure I have enough here in 2 Peter to give a great explanation of that. I'm not sure I have enough here in my brain to give an explanation for that. But what we're really seeing here is God's mercy and his patient kindness. I think that's what Peter is particularly holding up. God has a heart of mercy. He longs for people to repent. That's a quality of God that Peter is holding out to us. This is a God who delights to show mercy. But he's also a God who will judge. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. His judgment will come without warning. Creation will be burned up and dissolved. Judgment will come. The secret things will be exposed. Do you hear those same kind of themes that we heard in Psalm 90? A timeless God who will judge, but who's patient in his kindness. Some people say the God of the New Testament is so different than the God of the Old Testament. Say the God of the Old Testament was all about judgment, and this New Testament God is all about mercy. As we look at these two passages from two different testaments, we see the same God. See a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's the picture of God that Peter is holding up to these early Christians. These Christians who are struggling with, whether God's really going to keep his promises, who maybe are having their faith shaken by the mockery of people around them. Peter says, what do you need to know? You need to know that this is the kind of God that you are serving. Well, Peter goes on from those couple of verses to call us to live
in light of that God. Look at verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness?
I love it when the Bible just gives us the application. You know, you're always supposed to apply things in a sermon, right? You say the big ideas, and then you say, okay, how do we live in light of that? And it's wonderful when Peter's just done that for us. I mean, that's what he's asking. Since we know this, how should we live? And I want us to see four things quickly as we finish up here. Peter calls us to be waiters. Waiters. Look at verse 11 again. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
There are lots of wonderful ideas in those couple of verses, but I hope you hear at the beginning of them and at the end the idea of waiting for the coming of the Lord. God is a God who will keep his promises, and we're called to actively anticipate.
So many of the parables of Jesus call us to do that, to actively look forward, to long for his appearing. You can think of his parable of the virgins attending the wedding, waiting for the bridegroom. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, for the bridegroom will appear. Be alert. Set your hope on the promises to come. How do we do that when we have so many other pressures around us, when there's so many other things that take our attention, when there are so many ready entertainments? Well, I think one way we do it is by focusing our minds, by filling our minds, by meditating on the promises of God, by being students of his word, committing ourselves to reading those promises and fixing them in our hearts. By thinking about all the different things that we anticipate and saying, okay, in that list of things I anticipate coming up in this next year perhaps, where is my anticipation of Christ? Am I looking forward to the promises of God? We're called to be waiters. We're also called to be workers. It's not just anticipation, he's saying. You know, sit back and idly wait. He also says, how should we live? Work. We saw some of that in those verses 11 and 12. Even then, there, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. A wonderful little phrase to meditate on. What exactly does it mean to hasten the day of God? And it sounds almost like God's coming is dependent on us in some way. Of course, we'd say it is entirely of him. But God has prepared works for you to do. He has prepared things for you to accomplish before Jesus comes. In some way, in our work, our attempts to follow after him, we can in some way even hasten
the coming of the Lord.
Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. There's working language, right? Be diligent at something. Work for holiness. Work to be at peace. That's what he's calling us to do in response to these sure promises of God.
Well, in the next couple of verses, Peter says some wonderful things about the Apostle Paul's writing. We are not going to look at that at all, but it is terrific. So look at 15 and 16 yourself. But jump down now to verse 17. Verse 17. Look there. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Peter says, be waiters, be workers, be stable. Friends, the promises of God and the character of the God who gives those promises should make us stable. Not just thrown off in this direction or that every time we hear a new message. Not turning our anticipation to run after this thing or that thing. No, we're stable in what he's given us. Not being carried away with the errors of lawless people. There are all kinds of errors that people would bring before us today. Might be tempting to you. We're called to remember who God is and be stable. And final response, look at verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It's not simply stable, but it's also growing. Be waiters, be workers, be stable, be growing. Stable might sound like just staying in the same place, that's all, you know, just stay here. But it's to be stable people who are growing because of who God is. If he was simply a God that we could comprehend, we could get to a point where we just understand him, well, then there wouldn't really be any need to keep growing in grace and in knowledge. But because God is the kind of God we looked at earlier, one we can't entirely comprehend, an infinite God, well, that means that we can continue obeying this, growing in knowledge and grace forever. Is that one of your goals for the coming year? To grow in grace and knowledge. May that be your response to a vision of this glorious God. Because God is who he is, eternal, kind, yet the judge of all, we are called to respond. We are called to be waiters, to be workers, to be stable, to be growing. This is a call that comes to us really at any time, but I think it's especially a good call to us at the turning of the year. May we be those who see our God, who follow after him, who trust his promises, and obey his word. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for being a God who we can trust. We praise you for the way that we've seen your faithfulness in our lives. We praise you for the way we've seen your faithfulness to your promises as we look into your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people who long for the fulfillment of your promises. As we long, may we be people who follow after you. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for the grace you've shown us. In Jesus' name, amen.